want to talk to now, son bitch, nigga. Hell no. I don't want to talk to a hoe. I don't want to talk to no bunch of niggas. This nigga got rings on his finger. What a nigga hit me, throw my head, one of them rings, put that eye out. Then it go Bible. I also, the boy, put that eye out. I also, the boy, hit him in the goddamn eye, put that eye out. I bet he closed his mouth now, because that eye closed now. They wasn't going to do me like that. You lying to me? Hell no. Nigga, I got some different kind of mates. I got some shit niggas ass ain't got. I ain't bullshit. It's in jail.
What a wild chain of events, dog. Imagine you walking down the street and a dude just hit you with, you know, some mace. You and the homies, a dozen deep, running down, you know. Charleston be talking that shit, though, so he know it wasn't going. He wasn't risking it being no conversation. That dude like 56, too, bro. Which one of y'all walk around mace in your pocket, though?
You ain't got no time to be walking around with no mace, man.
I'm telling you.
I ain't gonna lie, but
he got another video out carrying, he in the car, and he got a goddamn beam on the mace. He got a laser beam on the mace. I'm not bullshitting. And he got a can of bear spray. And he and that bitch just laughing, talking about what he got, and showing the little beam into the camera. I'm like, man, this motherfucker weird, boy.
But you just got to think about it now. Look, most will walk around with a knife or a gun, stuff like that. When you get inside certain places, you know, you can't have the gun or the knife. You know what I'm saying? So that mace do will come in handy. You know, I don't even play around with that stuff, man, because that stuff ain't – it hurts your eyes. I got maced before, man, by police, so that stuff is – it hurts your eyes bad. So. But
– and your lungs.
Yeah. But at the same time, look, if it's a gang of dudes coming and you ain't got nothing else but that, it is what it is.
I want to know this. Why all this crazy shit be happening on South Beach, man?
Well, because
everything weird is on Miami Beach.
And you know, the crazy thing is, like when they know tourists come a lot during the weekend, they don't usually police good. But when people from Miami go to the beach, now they want to police you. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. I ain't never been pepper sprayed or mace, man. My homeboy took like the mace right to the eyes from the cops, bro. And he was like, that shit don't bother me.
Shit.
I was like, hey, now they say it's like a rare percentage of people they don't fuck with.
Yeah. Some
and
people.
He happens to fall into it. So, man, I never forget that.
There.
Hey, cuz, I never forget that scene, man. He was like, that shit don't bother me. Fuck y'all. You know, they had him cuffed up and on the ground. And they was trying to mace him, man. My dog was like, that shit ain't nothing, man. He's like, that shit like water. Get out of here. I was like, yo,
that shit, hey, it'll have your nose snotty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I seen the other side, too, now.
You burning, you thinking them things about your eyes about to pop out your head.
My ex, she had got a can of that stuff from like a self-defense class or some shit, right? So she heard something in the apartment, got spooked out and sprayed the shit to the hallway. I came back to the crib after she done it. That motherfucker was in there still, nose running, eyes watering.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't breathe and shit. I say, so you mace yourself? I'm like, so wait.
Damn.
It wasn't nobody in that bit. You know, you just heard something, and now that you got this spray, you just sprayed the hallway. So she said she sprayed the hallway, closed the door, and still about damn near fell out. I'm like, well, how about your ass get for jumping the gun? You muted it.
What's the initial story about Buddy and Soulja Boy? Because I never heard of Buddy before.
You never heard Charleston White?
Nah.
He make a social media presence by like denouncing a lot of stuff that, you know, I guess you see present in hip hop culture.
Oh.
So like yeah, hey. K-Von got killed. He was like, hey, well, you run out, you know, 20-something deep. And you know, I don't know what y'all niggas finna do. Shoot him. Man, that's just how he bring everything. So, but he'll call names and stuff like that. So Soldier ain't the first. He just probably one of the latest. But yeah, he done talked about plenty of people before, man. He said he co-signed snitching. yeah, he talking about he wanted to start a school, teach young boys to be able to snitch, but they also be able to fight and shoot. So when that one shit go down in the hood, it'd be like, yeah, he did it over there. I'm crying laughing. I heard that shit. It's like, yeah, let's see, the key to my snitches is they can fight and they'll shoot your ass. So. You know, I was like, hey, look at Ace. Ace an old head officially. Y'all can't see him. But he's shrugging his shoulders like, all right.
Nah, because I'm saying, look at the young dudes today. They snitching, but them niggas will shoot you. they'll shoot you fast. They snitching, though, but they will shoot you.
But he talking about, like, hall monitors, like neighborhood watch type cats.
Oh, yeah, hell. I mean, yeah.
People that ain't, you know, involved in crimes. He talking about that, like.
Oh, you talking about like some caring
citizens? Yeah. What you talking about? Yeah, training them up so they can kick ass and shoot at the same time. He a wild dude, man. I don't disagree with everything he say, but
you know what though? He all talk, man. He one of them little motherfuckers that just gotta talk and talk and talk. You know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And he's funny because he say ratchet shit. You know. And you can relate to him the way he talk, but at the same time, that motherfucker he just say outlandish shit to get views, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they keep bringing them on that Say Cheese little video they be doing.
That's a fact. Yeah, he'll tell you that. Again, he an older dude. He like 50-something. And he a small dude. So he like, man, I'm not tussling with these young boys, man. I'm a little dude. And man, 27, 28 years old. And he finna whoop my ass. I got a can of mace right here, and I call the police. He don't mind either. But anyway, yeah, that was just a crazy little funny incident in the streets. Get well soon, Soldier Boy. Don't fuck with Charleston White, bro. He ain't really with the bullshit. My man is about that action. And he will call the law on your ass. So let's get into the show a little bit.
Here's the thing though. Like, since when Soulja Boy became the tough dude, like,
I don't know. When you start calling yourself Big Draco, I don't know.
It's the drugs, man. It's the drugs. That man started doing heavy, hard drugs. And, you know, when you start doing heavy, hard drugs, man, everything that somebody says to you becomes offensive. So now he got to be defensive. Like, you know, Soldier Boy, we know you from dancing and doing the having some nice little hooks and all this Draco stuff. We were like, huh? Soldier Boy, like, come on. You know what I'm saying? That's how we look at him. But he looking at it like, nah, I got to defend myself.
Yeah, because Soldier Boy never was a thug. We never looked at Soldier Boy as a thug. Like, we saw him as, you know, for what he was known for. I mean, I guess Buddy, who he beefing with right now, I don't know much about him, but it appears to be like he's just like any other troll right now that's just trying to keep relevant. Because I think when Kappa was explaining it, it just reminded me of certain Kane fans on Twitter who just say outlandish things just to get recognized.
Yeah, they names shall not be spoken on said platform, but I know what you mean. But that's the thing. Well, I mean, I will say this about Soldier. And I didn't listen to the clip of where it started with him. He did try to, you know, come out on Big Draco and coming out with all this, like, bravado and gangster energy, at least. Remember he told that story about shooting them dudes up?
Yeah, the one when he shot the people in his house.
Yeah. The boys came, they was the one he shot. And I was like, yo, this shit all cap, bro. I was like, everybody lying.
What?
I'm the people he shot. Yeah, all right, bro. Come on, man. You got time for
that. Yeah, nigga, you ain't coming on. You ain't getting on no platform to talk about I'm the people he shot. Nigga, you I'm finna go get this nigga.
Right.
Especially Soldier Boy.
Right.
I didn't understand until somebody who had a reputation, you know, as far as like when we came up, the rappers were really about it. So if somebody said, yeah, I got shot from Tupac, I could believe it. They said I got my ass whooped from Suge Knight and somebody from Death Row. You would believe it. But Soulja Boy, that ain't nothing to be proud of to say, yeah, Soulja Boy shot me.
Right. I don't know, yeah. Though. I don't know, man. These rappers today might be realer, man.
I'm gonna say that.
And then they go make a song about it.
They. I'm not gonna say they realer. The thing is, it's they out to prove something that they really don't got to prove.
Yeah, they trying to perpetuate that lifestyle.
Yeah,
right.
When we was growing up, you know what I'm saying, the rappers, most of them came from a real hard struggle. And they thing was, I'm trying to get out of the struggle. You know, but a lot of them just couldn't because it was hard. You know what I'm saying? You know, dope boys back then, the street dudes weren't really letting you get away. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're in the streets, you probably gonna have to stay in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So now, these cats live in suburban areas. You know what I'm saying? Their parents got a little bit of money. They doing a little bit of scamming. They filling themselves with the girls. Guess what? Now they got to prove themselves because they want their name to be known as, oh, boy, I got sticks. Boy, I shoot you. All right. For what? Ain't nobody did nothing to you. Y'all ain't beefing on no turf war, stuff like that. Y'all beefing because of a girl, probably. Or somebody said something on social media. Like, it ain't real beef and stuff like that. But, yeah, these rappers today.
You got your King Bonds. You got your, you know what I'm saying? You got them boys down in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, they going hard over there.
Jacksonville going crazy. Chicago going crazy.
Chicago, yeah.
Bronx. Hey,
while you bullshitting, they wilding here in Orlando, too.
Yeah.
Man, I wouldn't put it back.
He was signed to Cash Money. He in prison right now.
Oh,
Glock 9.
Yeah.
They literally was up here shooting.
Oh, yeah, I heard about dude. Yeah. They going crazy up there in Atlanta too.
And then they go make the song. It's like, yo, it's crazy. Which keep the fuel on the fire, and you know, can't be no ceasefires because everybody smoking on dead such and such. You know what I mean?
I seen one dude in Jacksonville. I guess he's saying he killed the dude, and then he did a video on the dude's gravesite. And I was like, man.
And the rumor in Atlanta is that a known rapper is actually diming out these people in Atlanta. So everyone on social media is guessing it's T.I.
But hey, that was funny when I seen that. The first name I said, watch people say T.I. Watch people say
T.I. Funny.
And I was like, it's funny though, because yeah, it was just funny.
Allow me to address the absolute absurdity. Oh, that guy, man.
But even with the thing, like you said, it's about snitching, right? In regards to like the other character before that's going on, he was teaching about snitching. Look at what happened with the RICO case with Gunna and Young Thug. All those members that's now turning, you know what I'm saying, that's turning, you know, pretty much ready to tell. And those probably were the same dudes who were probably out there like, man, I ain't with the snitching code. But, you know, people turn different once, you know, the feds come knocking and they start letting you know how many years you're going to get. You're going to start to cooperate.
Yeah, the only thing better for them boys with the YSL case is that it's a state RICO instead of the feds. So it'll be easier to beat, and they'd be facing less time. But, yeah, they still built the case, I mean, based on years and years and years of evidence. So you really going to sleep.
Which is fucked right. up because they watched as people died.
Right. I agree 1,000%.
Just to build a case. A lot
of this. Right. Should have stopped that shit years ago. Now you want the public sympathy. Like, oh, they've been out here being menaced. Well, you been knew they was a menace. Why you ain't stop them then? We figured we'd let them take a few more out. Maybe your innocent bystander get hit or something like that. Like, you know, it's all about them strikes, man. When it comes to law enforcement, see, the people be running for re-election and all that. So they want to say, I clean the streets up and, you know, get these high-profile cases so they can get re-elected. But
just for it happened all over again. They lock people up, and guess what? They still getting killed in the street. it don't stop.
That's a fact.
They don't care, man. But one thing I say about them, I didn't know it was a state case. I thought it was federal.
Nah,
I thought it was federal. But if it's state, either way it go, man, I read a docket, man, and I was like, yeah, they all screwed. I mean, basically, Gunna and Thug is screwed. Like, you know what I'm saying? The dudes who in there snitching, they got to, you know, they going to do some time and all that, but they screwed. There's nothing they going to do, man, because they got too much evidence. And I mean,
yeah, they're not bringing no RICO without having.
Yeah, they got too much. Like, they got so much evidence. Well, even before they arrested anybody initially in that case, they have people that was already jammed up giving them, you know what I'm saying, other evidence.
Yeah, you have people inside.
It's bad. It's bad.
I mean, it's bad.
I ain't mad at him. Fuck him.
Y'all just about to say,
on my Charleston. You want to be out there wilding, you're going to get what you deserve. Shit.
Yeah, about to say, on my Charleston White shit, hey, well, them niggas did it. I mean, what you want me to do? Like, I don't like Young Thug and Gunna that much. I mean, you know, hey.
Even if I like
them.
You know what I mean?
That's a fact, yeah. But I know people like to ride for their favorites, you know what I mean?
Listen, I still fuck with people. If they my people and they do some dumb shit and they get hemmed up, I'm still going to ride with my people. They my people. But it don't mean I'm co-signing that shit they did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can separate the person from the behavior.
From the behavior, absolutely. You know? Yeah, and I'm gonna tell them people, come get them. You right over here. I ain't going down with your ass. I ain't did that shit. That's why you do your dirt all by your lonely.
Yeah.
Couple of chains, man. Let's get into the show. Mute up for me real quick. Put a little quick pause here. What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another episode of 26 Degrees. I'm here, your boy Land as usual. Got a couple of guests with us today, man. A couple of Canes came to kick it with us. And it's something that's funny. We've been preaching this, man. We definitely have room for the family to pull up and kick it with us. So y'all reach out, man. Ain't no thing, but we got a couple of Canes kicking it with us today. I'm here with my regular co-host. One down. Yeah, he just messed my rotation up. I just realized that. Yeah, my boy Measy had to use a little PTO today. He out here brunching, I think, being a little baddie. I hear you. He probably got on some slim white jeans right about now. Shirt buttoned up, but like all the way down to like right above the navel. Gold chains, little anklet on, some chanclatas. You know what I mean? Serve them up, my boy. You know what I mean? Let the streets smell your cologne. You know what I'm saying? That's my guy. Yeah, he out there, but exit with us as usual.
What's good? What's good, people? Welcome back to the show. Ready to pop off. What's good?
Yeah, and super duper producer Maul is here with us.
What's happening, y'all? Shoot, man. Glad we're here. We don't got Measy today. He munching and brunching, but
yes, you know, sir.
We gonna hold it down for him as always.
The butt biter. Oh man, but
tell me that we gonna dock his pay.
We got our boy Brother Muzone in here with us, man. Say what up to the people, guy.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you for inviting me to the show. I know I've been on Measy neck saying hey. Got to get me on the show. Although, y'all got me on the show while I'm on vacation. It's 6:12 p.m. right now in Greece. So, I had to take advantage of this opportunity.
Light flex. I like it. Good for you. Inspire the people, though. Flexing is good. People be trying to downplay flexing. No, bro. When I hear somebody say that, I say, okay. Now, I got to get to Greece and say, yeah, you know, over here, it's such and such time. You feel me? I like that, dog.
Yeah, man, get out, man. It's a beautiful world out here.
Gotta see some of it. I'm with you. Likewise, we got another partner with us, man. Another Kane. Kappa Kane is in here with us today. Say what up, Cap. Oh, you muted. Hold on. There you go.
Y'all got
that
it.
Probably took
yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cooking. Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me on though, man. It's my first time joining y'all, but I'm cool with everybody on the pod on the cast here, and X hit me up, you know what I mean? Anything I could do to, you know, stand in for my homeboys, man, and support. I'm always down for. So for those that don't know, I write for State of the U. I'm one of the editors there. And I've been a Kane fan for my whole life, man. Longer than probably 35 years now.
Yeah, for those don't know, Capital Kane, Brother Monzo, that's they my tailgate partners. You know what I'm saying? We organized the one in Orlando, the big one. Me and Mo did the one in Atlanta. All three of us, we do the ones down here at the games and stuff like that. So
for shizzle. I hear you.
And just know I'm never getting on the grill again.
I'm done.
That's it.
Man, I like it. It comes a time, man. It comes a time in your life where you got to step away from some of the things you.
Man, that thing almost killed me out there with that song, boy.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It gives you a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
It does.
I'm too old for this shit. That's the perspective. Ain't it? Simple as that.
Man, we were there early in the morning.
And the crazy thing is, people kept walking by talking about, hey, man, you need some help. I'm like, you damn right I need some help. Come get on the grill. Grab this right here. And they just keep walking by. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just wait for the food. All right.
Sound good, right? Yeah. Well, before we get into it too much, we got a couple of little cat. What the hell? That boy was whipping up the work, man. That sound crazy.
Yeah, my bad.
Just unmute. I gotta do this ad. That was crazy. Oh man, that was funny as hell. I was like, "Yo, what are you doing? This ain't that kind of show, bro. What the hell?" Before we get into the show, we got a pretty decent docket actually. Before we get into the show too heavy though, man, I want to remind you that we brought to you today by the folks over at thegramco.com. Gramco services all your Delta 8 needs. They got everything from wake and bake coffee. They got pre-rolls. They got hard candy. They got gummies. They just introduced on the market the powder. So now you can infuse anything you want to. You want to make a drink. You want to make cookies, brownies. You can slap it on a steak if you want to. That's on you. However you want to chop it up, send some recipes through, man. Let the people know what's going on out there. Everybody can attest on this show, at least the guys that's on this show, that it's that real deal authentic. Everything they handle is from the seed to the package, shipped discreetly to your household. So, you know, you ain't got everybody knowing necessarily what you're doing, if it's still taboo where you at. And free shipping on orders of $50 or more. Use code CANES, CANES, 25 for 25% off your order. Tell them Larry sent you, man. All righty. Let's get into this docket a little bit, man.
Hey, before you go, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get, you know, I let my nieces eat the gummies. They called me the next day and they were like, Uncle X, where did you get that stuff from? Like, they were supposed to go out to a party, but they couldn't go because they were just
slumped.
Like,
yeah. You gotta be ready, man. Hey.
I say, man, nah, y'all, you know, that's a little company, man, Ground Coat. I gotta check them out. They trying to order them now, so
yeah.
I told them, man, I get them from.
Order that code, man. Use that code, KH25. That helps support the show, helps support our sponsor, man. They, everybody be like, oh, I never had that stuff before. I'm telling you, I did too, till I had the real deal. And I was like, nah, this is different. This one here will sit you down and make you think about, like, you know, mistakes you made in fourth grade if you ain't in the right state of mind. I'm telling you, you're going to sink in the couch, man. But it's a good trip. They got seltzers coming out too. Matter of fact, I think by the time we going out there for the watch LSU beat up Florida State, I think we'll have them out by then. So at that tailgate. Anyways, everybody been good, man. I know it seemed like we ain't talking a long time, man.
Yeah. We've been almost like a week and a half. We ain't jumped on. I guess
we never missed a week. I just think it's how we recorded last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started early and just sometimes, you know, you got to let the news dictate when you jump on. Because I think the other week before, we jumped back on quickly because the news was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cooling. Everything pretty good with me, man. I know a lot of y'all know I got a new job coming up, so I'm going to be down there in Florida with y'all boys. I ain't got to make that trip no more. So I'll be starting in the middle of about the middle of September. I'll be moving on down there, down to Merritt Island, which is like 45 minutes outside of Orlando. So I'll be in the Central Florida area. So, I mean, it'd be easier to get to the Canes games. Thank the good Lord above, because that's definitely part of the mission. I'm going to come kick it at the tailgate with y'all boys.
Yeah, man, we gonna welcome you back to Florida, man.
Yeah, I used to live here. Yeah,
you want to get some of that Georgia dust up off you?
That red clay.
Yeah, man,
look here. I lived in the wrong part of Florida, though. Even though not no shots at them, but I lived in the Panhandle, dog. So you know that was Seminole country. I was over there in Pensacola. Yeah.
He was over there in Alabama and Mississippi.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, I'm coming on back down, man. So I've been in Central Florida area. I'm getting a brand new gig, paying a hell of a lot more money. So hey, everything Irie on this side, man. I'm feeling great right now. I went to them people job today. I ain't did shit. I just collected some overtime and got on out of there. I was like, hey man, what y'all gonna do? Fire me? Nothing you could do with me right now. I don't know how we get when you smell yourself a little bit. So, but see, we get into a little bit of what's going on around the program. Oh, lost Mook. Hey, I see if I pull him back up. There you go.
Oh yeah, I'm back. My bad. Phone lost signal real quick out here.
You good, bro? You good? So I guess the biggest news right now would be coming fresh off the whole media day thing, but I guess we could kind of start off with the commitment announcements and some of the shuffling that's been going on with that, as far as all the information we know as of right now. And then we kind of get off some takes about where we feel like the situation may be shaping up. This would start with Elias Allen then.
Oleas.
I don't give a damn. Oleas. He ain't coming here no more.
Hey, it's funny. Hey, Larry, it's funny because somebody said in one of the spaces, they were like, boy, X, you and Larry, y'all don't know none of the boys' names. Man, look, I'm tired of stressing my brain to pronounce these guys' names. These guys' names are names that I, you know, not normal.
I mean, I ain't gonna call it normal or not, but I don't have no damn press kit with a pronunciation guide. If y'all know, feel free. Somebody did hit me up and tell me that it was Jakari, not Jakuri. I was like, okay, cool. If you know, let me know. I like to get people names right. As a person whose name gets mispronounced all the damn time, trust me, there's never no disrespect.
And it's really hard to get high school kids right because we don't know the right pronunciation.
Yeah,
right.
We don't have
the phonetic thing. Like if they on a team roster, you know, right. I can look that up.
But you know, it's an app. It's an app that pronounces the name. Me and Streeter found that out the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's an app. We found that out. And that's how I was able to pronounce the name. I was like, oh, that's how you pronounce it.
That's what's up. I like that. You have to get me that then, so I can be more professional.
Yeah. I'm gonna send it to you.
No doubt. So this one, I mean, we'll call it what it is. It's a whiff. Probably the first one in a minute. We've been on a good streak. I definitely think he was a guy that they absolutely wanted in this class. What you think happened there? I thought we was in a fight. I was actually pretty confident up until maybe last 2 days, maybe 3 days. That's when I kind of
I felt great about it. It was supposed to go down, but again, we not battling, you know, some little teams in Leon County or Gainesville. We battling big boys. Nick Saban did what Nick Saban does. You know, let me make the final phone call and get this guy thinking. And he initially said Bama was the team, his dream school that he grew up watching. And, you know, Nick Saban say, well, look, man, we develop all these old linemen that go to the NFL. You see the picture with him and his daddy. His daddy holding four national championship rings on his finger. I mean, speaks for itself. You know what I'm saying? But I felt good about it at one point. You know, it's a whiff. It is what it is. You know, not going to take nothing from it. You know, some fans saying, oh, he's not a take. Ah, that's BS.
You got to stop that, man.
He's a take. Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because if he came to us, y'all would have been jumping for joy.
Right.
Yeah.
The way I looked at it really quickly, like, to me, it was like almost like politics a little bit, where Nick was like, man, I can't lose another Miami battle. Like, I got to get this one. And I think, like, he made sure that, all right, that's the next announcement. I'm winning this battle. So, to me, that's just what it was. But, hey, man, if when you battle with the big boys, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
I mean, if you look at it, it's even happening with Saban, happening with Jimbo. You know what I'm saying? Saban unlocked some battles, you know, so far with this particular class. And I think the lesson learned from this one is it just demonstrates how fluid and how, you know, how quick things can change in recruiting, like in a short time span. Because everybody pegged him as like a for sure lock as far as like with coming to the Canes. And it just, you know, shows how things could change all of a sudden. With just, especially when you're dealing with Nick Saban, you never count Alabama out. Never to count Alabama out. As long as Alabama, Georgia, and from the way it seems right now, Texas making a little bit of noise, it's going to be a dogfight.
Nah, that's a fact. I mean, if you got to lose a battle, you know, Nick Saban is one I'm willing to take. You know, all right, cool. That's a battle I'm willing to lose. I like that take you had too, Maul. It might have been like, nah, can't lose another Miami battle. Whether he was on the top of their board or not, he's like, nah.
Well, just look at Alabama offensive line board. We got Francis. You know what I'm saying? We almost got everything going with Samson. Those are the two top guys at their board. So when you start going down, other teams getting guys too. So you're looking at the board and saying, well, hold on. We cannot allow them to take all the guys. We got to take one at least. Right. You know what I'm saying? To add with us, because we're losing the top guys on the board. You know what I'm saying? As names start coming off, now you start looking like, uh-oh, who we going to get?
How do you think that kind of affects maybe swinging back around on another guy that we're waiting on an announcement? I'm hearing – actually, I'll wait a second because I just got a little message a second ago. About somebody pushing their commitment back. But Peyton Kirkland is supposed to be announced. We're recording right now. Supposed to be announced sometime today. And we'll come – if we get commitments or don't get commitments, try to come swing right back and drop a reaction show. But how do you think that affects the Peyton Kirkland recruitment? Or is that kind of over with?
Well, I don't think it affects it. I don't think it affects it, honestly. And going back to Olas, you know, he said it was very, very close. And he had made his mind up a couple of days before, but, you know, it really went down to the wire. And I think that speaks volumes about what Manny and Mirabal and the rest of the staff are doing.
Mario.
Because Mario. We're no longer just a hat on the table, right? We're not the one that's getting clowned on, right? People are actually taking us serious. When I say people, I'm talking about like top level recruits. And I know people say, oh, he didn't have a good day at the, you know, under 50. I don't care about that. You can't really coach, you know, 6'6", you know, 6'7". You can't really coach that, right? He has all the measurables. You got guys like Mario and Mirabal and others to teach him how to be better, right? So he has all the physical traits. I had no issues with the kid. You know, I like him. He's well-spoken. You know, he seemed happy. His family seemed happy. So I'm happy for him. We move on. You know what I mean? We got other giants that we're looking at. And we got other guys that are in the fold. And honestly, it don't matter until December, right? Because until they put pen to paper, everything's still on the board. And, you know, I think the ship with Kirkland probably sailed a couple weeks back. You know, he's set on playing left tackle, and I know there's some discussion about him just saying he's an old lineman, he's willing to play wherever, but I know he's really wanting to play, you know, as a tackle. And, you know, I just don't see that room for him here at Miami. Currently, I'd love to have him, but at the same time, you know, when you are uncertain as a recruit, you know, I always post, you know, what that turns into is an uncertain player, an uncertain teammate. Yeah. We need guys on board that really want to be here, that really want to come in and work, that really want to be a part of rebuilding this program. So that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, nah, the Kirkman thing situation. I initially thought, okay, if we didn't get Olas, that we would double back. But I just think, man, Kirkman, he kind of played himself in the wrong direction. You know what I'm saying? I've been saying, like, yeah, I thought he was a troll because everything just looked like it was for attention. You know, and it just a sad situation because, you know, the kid has talent. You know, you would like him, but I didn't know the staff just was like, nah, we just going to forget about it. You know, we're not finna stand for it. Because we serious, you know what I'm saying? Like Cap was saying, like, no, let's say, man, we want players who are on board. You know what I'm saying? If you uncertain about what you really want to do, we're not going to waste our time anymore. We don't want to bring in people and then, as you know, they not feeling, then they want to transfer. Nah, we finna get kids in. We want to buy into what we got going on and move on from there. And then it's still other tackles on the board that we're going after. You know, so, and then at the end of the day, I don't think Peyton Kirkman signs with the team he commits to. On signing day, it's going to be something else. So,
but then that just reverts back to what Cap was saying. So,
yeah, especially it seems like with O-line, man, when they get to playing games, it just don't seem to be, you know what I mean? Just don't pan out.
I don't want my old lineman being divas, man. That just don't make no sense.
Yeah.
Like, that energy don't match.
Right, and it just – another point, and we'll move on, but, you know, I think it's important who's speaking with these young men, too, to kind of reiterate to them. Because you know why they even want to play tackle, right? Because tackle is more money in the NFL. But let me tell you something. The money is in the position you could play. The best money is quarterback. Can you play quarterback? Is that where you're naturally supposed to be? Of course, I want to be the quarterback too. I ain't built like one. I don't throw like one. So what you really need to do is kind of have a commitment to playing the game at a high level, and that's the position that's going to pay you. You ain't even make no money if you can't make the league. So, you know, I think that sometimes that's where these attitudes get locked in, and that's why, you know, Peyton even took the time to say, I'll be your left tackle, to Francis Maui Go or whatever. And I was like, as soon as he said that, I even said on the roll, I was like, oh, he ain't coming. I was like, you got to tell a man you're going to be the left tackle. Like, just say, you just come line up and play some ball. Let the coaches decide who's the left tackle, left guard, all that, and other. But when you got your mind set on, oh, I got to get the money position, this is the keeper. Bro, the money is in a position that you are going to be best at. So that's my little two cents on that. Let's pivot again. Jaden Bonsu was supposed to announce, what was that? He was supposed to announce Tuesday, I want
to
say.
It was supposed to be the 20th. I guess that was Wednesday.
His been pushed back. I hadn't heard anything really.
Yeah, no official date. We still think it's today, but he hasn't informed. I don't think anybody has found out that he's informed about a commitment date. But, you know, as of now, we're still sticking that he's commits today.
Okay. And I also heard that him pushing back the commitment bonds doesn't mean that he's changed his decision necessarily, Jace.
Yeah, it was like some family issues. I guess they wanted, you know, like, all the family to be present. Some of them weren't going to be there today, weren't going to be here this week. So it wasn't an issue about him trying to still decide what school he want to go to. It's a family issue where he wants everybody to be present.
Yeah, I think that people saying today, he posted a picture of Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan wore 23. So people associate that with, okay, he pushed it back to the 23rd. I don't know if that's true or not, but I went and looked at his page today. He really don't have anything up there, no updates as to what he's doing. So, you know, folks are running with the 23rd. It'd be great if he committed today, but, you know, again, it don't really matter till signing day, whether he commit today or, you know, a week from today. As long as we get the commit and he signs on the line, that's what it's going to boil down to. But looking at the other guys that, you know, we got on the board, I would be happy if they just commit. Like, we don't need the whole, oh, I'm going to have this day, I'm going to do it this time. Do what James Williams did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Just come out and say, this is what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Don't make it theatrics.
Yeah, it's such a – and, I mean, that's probably old head talk. I feel the same way. I'd be like, all this extra shit, man, especially, like, old linemen and stuff. I'm like, bro, just make a commitment. You ain't, you know, you ain't in a sexy position. It's not supposed to be. It is what it is. You got to bring that attitude. Yeah, I'm with you, bro. I wish it was way less. I don't even like hat games. But, you know, at the same time, I sound like them old folks that was telling me, you know, rap wasn't music. You know what I mean? So I got to let the kids live and do what they do, man. I'm like, all right, hey, it's a different time. So go ahead out there.
I mean, okay, I'm gonna get two different perspectives on it. I'm with y'all. I'm the old school man. Just commit to the school you want to go to and get it over with. All this attention for I'm finna have a big commitment announcement date, and then you haven't signed. So that's my thing. Like, what are you having a big commitment announcement date for when you're not signing? I can understand if it's signing day. I'm all for the big announcement on signing day. But we in July. Why am I having a big commitment, you know what I'm saying, date for everybody to see when I still got, what, 5 months to sign on the dotted line? You know, so now what happens if you say, oh, I'm finna flip. Now you finna have another signing? You know, like, that's just the perspective of how, you know, I think, or older folks think. And then on the kids' behalf, they're using their platform. You know what I'm saying? I'm a hot commodity. Everybody want me. Let's go. I'm finna have a commitment date on such and such. Everybody gonna check it out. Now everybody know me. You know what I'm saying? Around the nation. I'm all for it because they're using their platform, which leads to NIL stuff and, you know, deals and other stuff like that. So I'm all for it.
Right. With the NIL, yeah, I definitely agree. That's why you made that point right at the end. I was going to say the same thing. With the NIL, I get it more because now you can actually capitalize on your character if you're a good player. That's the thing that people aren't understanding about this NIL thing that we're going to see a slowdown in. I won't go off on a tangent, but it's going to be a slowdown, man. Because people are going to start needing to see a return on investment. What good is it if I give you money and you average to crash, right? Like, then I just gave you money and it was no return on investment. People forget De'Aaron King had a good year the year that he, you know, came back the next year and got the NIL stuff. So it was based on performance. So you're going to see more of that happening where people ain't just going to be, I mean, they're going to always be the under the table money, NIL money. That ain't going nowhere. But there's a lot of other legit companies and stuff that's going to be like, nah, you got to show me a little something first, son. But, yeah, you should sell your personality at all times.
And when you were saying how it's going to go, you know, some of the NIL is going to slow down. One reason why it's going to slow down is because I think, like you said, they want to see you actually do it on the field. You know what I'm saying? You either gonna have to perform on the field, or you're gonna have to make that company some money. When the schools are doing the collectives and all that, you know, you basically not really caring about making the money. You just saying you got to perform on the field,
right?
Opposed to what Ruiz is doing. Ruiz is trying to make money off the field. You know what I'm saying? It ain't even about you performing on the field. It's about, hey, let me capitalize on something outside of what you're doing on the football field.
And also, if I'm a collective, I need to save some money for the players who are actually performing in the season. I need more, most of this money to be allocated to players who are actually playing, because how can I use you for endorsements for NIL if you don't get on the field?
Yeah, you don't get on the field. Yeah, I mean, that's just good business. So you'll see a shift in a lot of that.
I think we all know that it's related to on-field performance, but the law says it can't be, right? So you can't attribute any type of a payment or, you know, size or frequency. Yeah, you can't do pay for play. We know what it is, but we also know we got to skirt around that, right? So that's why the collectives are going to run into issues, because they're really not offering anything of value in return. They're not offered anything of value in return for the money that they're giving these kids to try and entice them to come to the schools, you know. And what LifeWallet's doing is really, you know, I guess setting a platform, because the NCAA came in, everybody's like, oh, they coming down on Miami. NCAA ain't come down on us. They came down here to find out how we're doing it, so that they can make that the model going forward. And because Ruiz is so loud about it, you know what I mean, so vocal about it, and with him being an attorney, I think they have some confidence in what he has going on. And you see the product. I wouldn't call it the best product yet. I think they will get better at it, but you see the commercials, you see the spots that they're shooting, because they post it as they're doing it, and then they post the finished product, you know? So there's you know, a really easy way to say, okay, this is not pay for play, it's pay for work, right? And obviously, you know, Larry, if they're a big name and they bring eyes to the brand, then yeah, they're gonna capitalize off of that. Right. But if you're giving out, I saw Texas just gave $25,000 to everybody on the roster.
Right.
Every player on the roster got $25,000. For what though? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. What the name, image, likeness? What? How does that satisfy any of those? Does that, it's just paid
Texas,
for what?
Texas did that. Well, UM gave every player money, but it was from the, what's his name, with the USC?
Yeah.
I mean, not UM.
No, yeah. It had nothing to do with UM. It had something to do with the dude
from the MMA guy.
Yeah, the MMA guy. Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Cap, but like they came down to figure out, okay, exactly how is UM doing it so legally so we could show everybody else, because everybody else was really getting in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's not how it's supposed to be done, because now you're paying for play. You know,
and it didn't just come to us either. That was, you know, it was the sexiest name. It went to BYU and it was another school. It was three, I want to say, all together. We just always gonna be the headline grabber.
Yeah, of course. You know, Miami.
Yes,
I keep telling people, if you do anything in media and you speak on anything about Miami, they gonna come watch you, or they gonna come listen, because it's just interesting for everybody.
Right. Let's move on down the line a little bit. So yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think the PK ship is sailed. We'll see a little later on this evening. We got Janelle Aguero.
Janelle Aguero, I think he's supposed to be at 12:30, I think.
Man, he's trying to be playing. I don't know exactly when his is going to be. All the info I'm getting is, even up until today, it's funny, I got my Georgia guy that's pretty plugged in and pretty in touch with the program. He hit me up too, wanting to know. I'm like, well, I ain't that plugged in, but I can ask some of my people. And we both are kind of sitting at that right dead set at a 50-50, man. Georgia or Miami. I think he'd make a great addition to the safety room. Be a great pickup. Any thoughts on how y'all kind of feel on his recruitment, how that's going to pan out?
I think that one comes down to, I think he likes you, he likes a die a lot. I just think I still feel like UM would be the pick, but at the end, I think it comes down to him wanting to play, like next year. Mm. You know, it's just not going to happen right now at UM. You know what I'm saying? We still have some good safeties and it's going to be harder for him to get on the field immediately. So that might be the move for him to go somewhere else to Georgia, because it might be a lot easier. But we'll see, man.
I think the relationship matters with Adai and BVD, you know. I think that folks look back on when we were great, the type of competition that we had on Green Tree, right? People weren't shying away from coming. Everybody wants to play. Everybody want to play now. But, you know, all it takes is one injury or two injuries during the season. And look, you up next, you know. So are you willing to come? Are you willing to put in the work to be what it is that you're seeking, you know, which is the top level of your game? Yeah, everybody can jump on the coattails because Georgia just won a national championship. But, you know, that's not a guarantee for success. Just because you won one previously don't mean you're going to win the next one, you know. So I would look at it like this. Do you want to come and play amongst the best? If the answer is yes, do you want to learn from the best? Because we got Hall of Famers on Green Tree at any given day, you know. So who do you want to be instructed by? You know what I'm saying? And then third, I would say, look at the lifestyle. You know, what does Miami offer that you can't get elsewhere? You know, from the city, from the weather, from, you know, the NIL opportunities. You know, what's really out there, man? I think that's what it's going to boil down to. And I think, you know, the way he spoke highly of Miami, you know, it lends you to believe that he may pick us. But again, you know, the relationships are going to matter. His relationships at Georgia started with a dot. But they didn't end with a die. You know what I mean? So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we ain't got to wait much longer. But I think he's going to sign with us. You know, all indications from people online who probably don't know what they're talking about are saying he's going to Georgia. But you never know. It's recruiting, man. These kids change their mind, you know, minute to minute. So, again, December, holla at me. You know, early February, holla at me. But till then, it's just good for, you know, momentum. It's good for talking points. It's good for us as media, you know, to have something to discuss.
Right. Yeah, I like what you said. Their relationships are still going to be, to me, the most important factor in all this. You know, all that money talk, I'm like, eh, what money? Like, people are talking about, even when they associate players that are coming over to Miami, I hear money talk. I'm like, what money? Who got this money? What money are y'all talking about? At least nothing on the table. Now, if it's coming from under the table, I mean, who? I can't speak on that, right? Like, I don't know, right? Even if I do know, I don't know. But, yeah, I know the relationship was built with the DIE. DVD is a dynamic recruiter. I feel good on that one, but I still just feels like, you know, like you say, man, kids flip back and forth. I feel like it, I mean, if I had to make a decision, I'll go Miami, but Georgia certainly wouldn't surprise me. And so the next guy is Malik Bryant, who, to my understanding, I just got a couple of messages actually, saying that he will not be committing today. So not sure, you know, exactly how that situation is shaping up. I just got another message that said, and I know this person knows the kid, said, no, it's at the same time. So, you know what I mean? This is how the games go, man. Like, and I know he knows the kid personally. He works at the school that he goes to. So, hey, who knows, bro? It's all fun and games, man. This is why, like, before I got into, you know, being on the roll-up, like, I really did quit following recruiting. I was like, bro, I don't care. It don't matter. Just if they good, let me see on signing day. I'll be like, okay, we got a nice little, you know, nice little allotment of players with such and such stars next to their name. Cool. But you save yourself all of that back and forth between, oh, they doing this and they doing that and they pushing us. And, you know, remember the kid that was, he ended up committing to Nebraska. And He already went in the transfer portal already.
Oh, you talking about Francis.
Francis. Yeah, Francis. Yeah. I was like, bro, back and forth, back and forth. And I was like, was it France or Francois?
I guess you pronounce it Francois. Francois,
I think. Yeah, I think. Yeah, he was like.
Jaden Francois.
Yeah, he, I remember sitting in the classroom. And he got up and walked out. And he came back in. And he got up and walked out again. He came back again. I'm like, yo, what is this circus that we got going on here? So I don't know about the Malik Bryant thing. I will, as far as if he's going to still commit at the time that he was originally supposed to, but I'm still confident. I'm still going Miami here.
Yeah, the talk as of late has been Florida making a push for him. And you gotta consider this, man. These guys are young men, right? And they're faced with an immense amount of pressure from friends, family, teammates, coaches, you know, the schools that they're looking at. They're getting contacted, you know, nonstop. Most of these kids will tell you, hey, I talk to this coach daily. You know, think about that. This is, if it's somebody that you're not dead set on going to and you got to talk to this dude every day, you know, it may become frustrating for you, or you may, you know, see some of these kids that are genuinely torn. They really like everything, you know, about the program and the staff, but they want to be close to home, you know, so those kind of things factor in. Family can't afford to travel to see them play, things like that, you know. What do y'all think about the trolling, though, man? Like, kids getting up there and slinging hats and putting on a hat and then taking it off, putting on shirts and taking them off. You know, how y'all think about that, man?
And for me, unless that school or that recruitment, something went wrong with the recruitment, or they slighted you in some kind of way, I never understood that. If that other team recruited you through and through and you just chose another school, like, why would you want to troll the school who did right by recruiting you? That's the way I look at it. Now, if you were supposed to commit to school A and school A pulled your offer or something at the last second, but that's the only way I would even see it.
It's today's society, man. That's what social media for right now, trolling for the most part. You know, when players interact with fans of different schools, you know, you have some very, very passionate fans who interact in positive ways, and you have some who interact in negative ways. So I just look at it like that. Like, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just looking at it like, hey, you know, this team, I like this team, but I guess once things start trending towards another team, now they're saying, you know, they trash talking me. Okay, no problem. I'm a troller, you know what I'm saying? Make y'all feel bad for trash talking me. I've never heard situations like that before from recruits. Like, dang, I ain't got no pressure with Miami, but they trash talking me. Oh, okay, let me troll them then. I'm going to throw the hat on the ground, make them even madder. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So it just goes, it's the gift and the curse, man. The social media just allowing people to do things that they would not normally do. You know what I'm saying? You're not normally going to troll people out in public.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You'd rather troll them on the internet where it's safe. So it's like, hey, all right, no pressure. I'm going to troll y'all back. And, you know, us fans who take it personal, I mean, we, you know, not me, because I don't get hurt by it. I laugh at it. You know what I'm saying? The ones who take it personal, if you feel like a kid trolls you, then you need help. Seek help.
Yeah. I was talking to a prominent 7-on-7 coach down there in South Florida this week about the kid that committed to Georgia that had the UNC.
The big D lineman, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I thought that was disrespectful. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, yeah, kids throw hats, et cetera, but oftentimes you see that it's kind of like impulse, right? I thought there was effort put into, you know, intentionally trolling UNC. I don't know the relationship. I don't know the backstory of what happened. It just didn't give, you know, a good feeling as a fan of any program to see somebody do that and then come to your program. Because it's like, with, you know, they say, oh, if they cheat on somebody for you, then they'll cheat on you too, type stuff. You know what I mean? So if you're going to troll some other program, the likelihood is you may troll us down the road too. You know, and I think that's just a maturity thing. It comes down to, you know, are you really mature yet if you're making those types of decisions, you know? And whether or not they choose Miami or not, I don't really care for it. But, you know, it's their moment, so they do what they do. But, you know, obviously we have an opinion, and I'm just sharing my opinion on it. Like, you know, Maul said, you know, I don't know what the backstory is there. If somebody did something to you or aggrieved you, you may have a case for it. But, you know, be the bigger man. You know what I'm saying? Step up and show your professionalism, because if you want NIL deals, you want to get these sponsorships, you want to get, you know what I mean, these opportunities down the road, they're looking at you, are you professional, you know?
Yep. And that kind of circles back to my point earlier about, you know, the people in these kids' corners. If you, you know, if you do have any type of influence on these young men, tell them, hey, man, we're taking the high road. You know, all that sucker shit they did, yeah, it was corny. Guess what? We're going to step on them by just exceeding all expectations and excelling in life. You know, the best revenge is success. That's the truth. I don't care how you want to cut it up. That's just what it is, man. When you winning and you truly on top, like, you really won't be paying attention to these haters like that anyway, or anybody that gave you any type of negativity. So we're going to see what happens specifically with the Malik Bryant situation, if that comes up, if that gets pushed back. But I think that is a good point, Capo. I think it speaks more to the people around them a little bit, you know. Well, I don't, you know, a little reaching for one hat is one thing, but like you said, if you got to throw it down and all this stuff, it's like, all right, man, that ain't what we on. We on moving on. Like, whatever the case may be, if I got a good girl over here, I ain't sitting here keep talking about how bad the last one was, or I could have had her, but she did the, bro, I'm winning over here. I don't care about that.
That's real. And you know what's crazy?
What's that?
The coaching circle is very small.
Mm-hmm.
See these folks shuffle every year, and some of them go to rivals. You know what I'm saying? So you see a Florida State coach come to Miami, or a Miami coach come to Florida State. You know what I mean? You see a UF coach go to UGA, or vice versa. Auburn coach go to Bama. You know, so if you burn that bridge, they may still end up being your coach. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you got to think twice about that. That's how I always educated my son. I said, man, listen, don't never burn a bridge. You know, if you don't want to cross it, don't cross it, but don't ever burn it, because you don't ever know when you need to cross it. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, so T-Rob said that. Remember when he came, he like, man, I was trying to recruit James Williams and Cam Kitchens at South Carolina.
Yeah.
He wouldn't answer my phone, and now I'm the head coach. Now I'm the position coach. And I'm like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but they ain't cuss him out.
Yeah, nah, they ain't cuss him out. I was just saying, like, as an example, like, he's going to coach next year.
But that goes, actually, you know, straight to his point. They didn't really burn the bridge. They didn't pick up the phone. They didn't do nothing.
Yeah, they didn't pick up the phone.
It's like, hey, man, I'm tired of answering the phone, bro. Like, I'm not going to South Carolina, man. I'm tired of answering. So, I got one more little thing, nugget, I guess you would call it, and as far as recruiting goes. Connor Liu.
O'Connor, the center.
Yeah, he's projected to play center at the next level.
I think he commits in August, though, the 5th.
Yeah, he just dropped August 5th. He just dropped a graphic earlier today. He'll be picking between us, Auburn, UGA, and Clemson. So,
yeah, I don't want to say I'm scared. I don't think we good with that one. I think, you know, Clemson's probably going to be the landing spot.
I ain't heard nothing about this kid, so I'm kind of with you. I don't have a feeling anyway, like, which way I think he's going. I just haven't heard anything.
Yeah, they've been recruiting him. The thing was, you know, we got Antonio Tripp already, and he's our center. He's going to be center for us. So it was like, will we double back down and go after him, because he's good? He's real good center. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if you want to take two centers in the class. You know what I'm saying? So if they can, I mean, I don't know if they could coach him up to play guard, maybe they take him, but I just don't think, you know what I'm saying, this is going our way.
That's what's up. So we'll see. Yeah, we got a little while on that, a couple weeks.
The other one, man, is Cedric Baxter.
And my dog.
Yeah, Cedric Baxter, you know, number one running back in the nation.
Yeah.
He commits in August. What is it? August 10th.
I thought he already committed to
Nah, it ain't. I mean, it's not public.
I already committed to Texas.
It ain't public yet, but hey.
Oh man.
Nah, we had him on the space the other day, man. The way he talk about Miami practice, the way he talk about the way Gaddis gonna use the offense, Coach Kevin Smith. I feel good about it. I guess everybody's saying that it's done when he's going to Texas. I don't know, man. I'm going to stick with Texas, but I don't know, man. Things can get real interesting with that one.
Yeah, you think so?
Do you think that's going to be one of those?
If you heard the space and you can just hear how he talk, then it's different from like, yeah, I'm not really interested, but let me talk about it.
Yeah.
He talked like he was really, man, UM. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's UM. I want to go. So
he was definitely impressed. He said he talks to Kevin Smith all the time. And when he came, they showed him a video of him and Gaddis's offense, like, imposed over each other. Showing when the running back of Michigan cut to the left, how, you know, cutting to the left also in his high school game. He had to leave early that week that he was there, but he said as he came back the next time, the first thing he did was ask them to see that video again. He watched that video. He said Miami had the most intense practice all the schools he had ever been to. And he talked about the importance of the offensive scheme that being very similar to the offensive scheme that Coach Cam Duke is running over Edgewater. It's not a big stretch for him to be able to take that next step, you know, running that same or similar type of offense. So it was very good, man. The kid's very well spoken. Spent a lot of time in the space with us that night, answered everybody's questions. I really like him. I'm rooting for him, whether he comes to us or not. I'm impressed by it.
Hey, man, I'm going to say one thing about the kid. Kappa just said he was impressed. Listen, I do interviews with a lot of kids, man. One thing I wanna create is a platform where kids are able to learn how to speak and do interviews. Because a lot of kids don't know how to interact properly. And sometimes it makes us as a culture, our black kids, look real bad. You know what I'm saying? So he's a kid that really knows how to attack the media with questions. You know what I'm saying? Every question that we ask, it's almost like he was a professional when we asked him. You know what I'm saying? Some kids I ask questions to, and I'd be like, dang, bro. y'all edit that out, man. That ain't sound too good.
Yeah.
He's on point.
That's what's up. Yeah, some of that comes with some training and stuff, man. So I got Malik's.
Initially pushed back. That's what me and you were talking about earlier, Larry. I'm like, yeah, I think it's going to most likely get pushed back. It's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
It really don't have nothing to do with what people are thinking. Like, it's a lot.
He dropped on his IG for those that can't see, obviously, that the event's been canceled. But they still having the party tonight, baby. 5 o'clock, y'all pull up, 1107 Church Street, Orlando, Florida 32805, man. So y'all pull up, man. Enjoy some cucumber sandwiches, some Swedish meatballs, the little buttermint.
Little smokies.
Yeah, little smokies. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what the vibes is, man. How we get down. So the commitment has been canceled or pushed back, obviously. But yeah, they still gonna do the party since they done paid for the food, I imagine. So.
Yeah, the vent paid for, man. Let's still have us a little shing ding.
Yeah, the venue there. Yeah, come on. Got the food there. Your aunties and them done been cooking all night. We got to go ahead and get this out of here. So All right, so that's the official on that for now. So it'll be a dry ass commitment time, but everybody pushing back.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at him. I don't think.
Hey man, take your time, man, to make your decision.
Yeah. And like Cap said, man, it's still gonna go down in December. So even if Baxter picks Texas, Mario ain't gonna stop calling.
I mean, you know, and the one thing I hear about on recruits who speak on Coach Mario, even when they do commit at other schools, they say Mario would be the first one to text them or call them and congratulate them.
Right.
You know, I'm going to just be straight up. I don't see coaches at other schools doing – I don't know. I don't pay attention to it, but that's just – I don't see a coach saying, hey, congratulations, you committed to Miami. I think they said, damn. You don't probably think we can get you from Miami, man? Like,
they probably shoot him a bird and little out. Yeah. The little emoji, bird emoji. All right. Well, we had media day.
Yeah, media day.
I was supposed to go over those press conference notes. Maul, you might have to soak the rock on this.
Yeah, I got you.
I was drunk as hell on that show, bro. I had a good show. I was celebrating, man. I was like,
you did all right, man. You held it down on the show. Just some of the bigger things. I just feel like Mario kind of owned media day that day. I know Pittsburgh coach was saying a lot of stuff about Pittsburgh could win the Big Ten and things like that. But in terms of what Mario said, Mario kind of just dominated the day. He was on First Take with Desmond Howard and Robert Griffin. And Mario just, when I hear that man speak, like, it's almost like when I watch Lean On Me, like, wait, Joe Clark just spoke and he just got the whole room. Like, he, whatever room he in, he gets the respect of everybody in that room.
Yeah.
So were there any particular quotes y'all heard from the press conference? I know people are going to want to talk about a turnover chain being – we could probably get into that first.
I ain't even going to mention that. That's done. I think the one quote that he did say was, you know, when he was speaking on TVD, you know, basically putting his quarterback at the forefront of saying, yeah, we got the best quarterback in the nation. He's going to be – outstanding this year. You know, he's backing his quarterback up because we already know TBD came out and said stuff like that before.
Right. NC State game.
For Mario to actually back his quarterback up, saying we're going to do everything within our power to make it easy for him to have a successful season. And as the quarterback goes, guess what? The rest of the team goes.
Yeah.
You know, so
he's got full confidence in TV.
Yeah, full confidence, man.
Feel a lot about the off the field stuff as to his leadership, things like that. Early time, right?
Right.
And then the other quote, man. The other quote was the one where he made about with James Williams and LT. Like, you know, he said, "Yeah, man, those two are phenomenal players, but we coming for the one green tree."
You know, I love it, man.
He let them know, like, "Yeah, y'all." Two of the best players on the team, but guess what? Y'all gonna work even harder because y'all the best players on the team. You know,
that's how you develop talent. That's how your five-star recruit becomes the first-round pick in the league. And the biggest thing too, I also heard him say when it talked about Van Dyke was just how they're kind of instilling a lot more play action, and it made me think back to last year where it felt like everything was a go, or it was like the RPO where I feel like this system that Gattis is going to run is going to make like Van Dyke's life so much easier. Like getting matchups with the tight ends, being able to power run, but then the play action is going to be there for him. And I think he's going to be great with the play action.
Yeah, man. If you have a really good running game, most of the defense is going to try to stack the box or come up. You know, so play action, guess what? Bomb. You know, I got one-on-ones with cornerbacks who really can't cover one-on-one. They're going to get beat. You know, I think the other day when somebody asked me who benefits the most, I first said Zion, but then I had to double back and say, I think TVD is going to benefit the most from this coaching staff with Gattis and Coach Mario.
Right. And two other interesting names that I heard the players talked about. Mallory mentioned – the big improvement he thinks we're going to get from Arroyo this year, like how he's pretty much said, yeah, I'm the senior, but he's a leader already. Like he said, I see him playing 3 years of college ball and going to the league.
And Battery better watch out, but Arroyo might be taking that position.
Hey, that'll be great. And the surprise that TVD talked about was he says he expects what's the running back we got from Louisiana?
Parrish.
No, not Parrish.
Who you talking about? Citizen.
Citizen. He says Citizen gonna get on the field this year. He flat out said it.
Yeah, I mean, to be truthful, I know Capital went down there and seen man, Citizen just looks like he's almost an NFL running back right now.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
Yeah, he just looks like that. So I know everybody keep asking me, and I'd be like, well, nah, I don't think he's going to play because of the running back room is kind of big. But, I mean, Mario saying he's going to play the best player. So if he gets there and outworks all the other running backs, then, I mean, put him in the game. You know what I'm saying? The only reason why I kept saying Chaney is because I know Chaney going to outwork. He gonna outwork all the running backs. It don't matter because that's just what he does. You know, whether he stay healthy or not, he just always outworks his group. And that's why he plays. You know, but we'll see, man. On your Citizen, boy. Oh my gosh.
I think the beauty of we have a very deep running back room and a very deep quarterback room. And as far as the running backs, everybody brings something different to the table, right? You got a guy like Thad that can ground and pound, you know, in the short yardage type stuff. You got Rooster that's going to outrun everybody, you know. And, you know, the way they talk about Citizen, I haven't seen him play yet, but the way they talk about him, you know, he's a combination of all of them. So, you know, when I talk about it, I say, listen, find a way to get your best on the field. Put the kid on special teams. You know what I'm saying? Let him get the experience on special teams. They're asking, oh, should we burn his shirt? Well, he ain't got a shirt yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's got a shirt yet. Don't automatically, you know, condemn the kid to not being able to play. And if you do want to redshirt him, let him play them four games. You know what I'm saying? Give him some exposure both on special teams and in the offense. Let him run some plays. But what it's going to come down to is, can the kid block? Can the kid catch up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Does he know his assignments? It's not only knowing your assignment, but knowing the assignments of the rest of the people around you. And for some kids, you know, that's a stretch. You know, some of them just play. They just play off natural instinct, you know, and athletic ability. And when you get to this level, you know, that kind of, you know, subsides because now you got real game planning going on. People looking for mismatches and stuff. You got to be smart when you play. You know, when you get to the professional level, it's even more intense. So it's not just about having the physical traits any longer. It's also having the aptitude. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing with these kids. You know, I seen Don when I was down there for the camp. Don looks great. I mean, he is big, you know, but he looked
like ready.
He looked fit, you know what I'm saying? He looked healthy. And that's the most important thing. So it's going to be very interesting what we see coming out that backfield this year. And I do think they'll find ways to get them on the field. I think Rashard going to get some touches back there too. So we'll see.
I mean, yeah. Man, look, we what, 2 weeks away from practice? I'm just ready. I'm sick of all the talking. Let's get to some football, man, so people can really talk ball. Like, you know, we're excited about what's going on with recruiting. We're excited about what went on through the off season. August 5th is this time to get back to work. You know, so we here now.
What did y'all, I had to step out a second. Did y'all talk about the turnover chain?
Nah. I don't
know. Why is that news? I thought everybody knew that.
Yeah, I don't know that. Well, he been saying they was getting
rid of that. I loved how he addressed it, right? Like, obviously, we don't need to debate it. I think everybody on here feels the same. Because essentially, he made the announcement, him and Maribol, back in, I believe it was in January. It was more so the media bringing it back up. And he just kind of had to. Because if you notice, everywhere he went on SportsCenter. He went on First Take. They all brought it up. He's just like, it's just, he says, I didn't really make a decision. It's just not in what we're doing. We're practicing on tackling. We're practicing on this. And just really quick, I know a lot of people seen that stat where 5 years ago we had 31 turnovers. And then last year we had 11. The whole point of the chain was to create an environment to motivate you to get turnovers. Well, if all the chain doesn't motivate you to get turnovers, but in practice you're not hitting right, you're not working on what you need to do. So in end game you can get turnovers. It defeated itself. It was a good run. It was fun while it was 2017. That year will always be great, but it's just something that just wasn't needed anymore. And just, I don't know, people just got to accept that it was good while it was.
And because at one point, I think the last 2 years, it started looking like they were playing for the turnover chain instead of playing for the actual win. Like, what's important? To win the game, or let me go ahead and give me a turnover chain so I can put it around my neck?
We won 11 wins, not 11 turnovers in the season.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, look, I'm glad it's gone. I don't even speak on it because I don't care. It's a chain. Like, it'd be different if we were talking about a helmet. You know what I'm saying? They need the helmet to play. They don't need the chain to play.
So. Yeah, I just thought it was funny. Yeah, I think Mario, because I think he took the attitude like I did. Like, didn't I been tell y'all this? Like, we been said that. No, we're not doing it. Move on. Like, it's over. Yeah. It's cool.
National media needs a story.
Right? It needs some story. It might, and it may come back one day. But this ain't the time. We ain't worrying about that right now. It's just not a point of emphasis. So, anyways, we'll wrap up, man. We'll do some quick takes on possible conference realignment.
Yeah, I had dropped that question in there because y'all know that's kind of my bag that I kind of follow heavy. I'm researching it. And I just had a question. A lot of people ask them from the Miami spread, what do we want? My question to you guys was, which conference do you think would want Miami more, the Big Ten or the SEC, if it came down to it?
Big Ten, I think. It would give them a presence down in South Florida. And then, you know, people have to understand that the brand is still very big. The U is still a very recognizable logo and a top-tier brand. So infusing some Big Ten money behind it, it's only going to be mutually beneficial. The SEC, they've already got their presence down in Florida. It's not – obviously, South Florida is not Miami. But they have their presence. And then I just – no trolls, no, you know, trying to be sassy or nothing like that. I just really think that Florida don't want us over there for recruiting purposes. Like, no – that's just smart on their part. They would rather we weren't in the same conference. So – That's my take. I think I think the Big Ten would want us more. And I think it might be more beneficial for us because we would be that much more important to them as a brand.
Right.
Because they don't have that type of presence over, you know, down in Florida. So.
Right. And the reason why I brought it up, it was kind of leading to this. Initially, my whole thought was, well, the SEC would want to like kind of shut out the South for the Big Ten. But from what I'm hearing is the Big Ten really wants two teams from the ACC, but it's not the two teams everyone's thinking about. Everybody thinks it's Virginia, North Carolina is who the Big Ten wants. They want Miami and Georgia Tech.
They want to get in those major markets.
In those major markets, because think about it, they got Los Angeles. You get Miami and you get Atlanta, you're not only getting the teams, but you're getting the markets, you're getting the recruiting grounds. And if the Big Ten is going to continue to grow and be neck and neck with the SEC, saying that Miami and Atlanta is Big Ten territory would do a lot. So essentially, if the Big Ten had their choice of who to go 20, it would be Notre Dame, Stanford, and then they'd get Miami and Georgia Tech. So I think, just to wrap it up, just the Big Ten really actually wants Miami.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Good talk, man. Good stuff, man.
That's true. Big Ten does want Miami.
That's
we think they'll offer us. I think they'll offer us like $125 a year, $125 million a year. That's a lot. That's a lot more than $35 million. What we getting in the ACC, man? Yeah.
No doubt. We'll slide up out of here, man. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you, Kappa, man. for kicking it with us, man. Great, great presence. We really appreciate you coming to sit down with us, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me. Anytime you need me, just hit me up.
No doubt, bro. Moo ended up, I think he either lost connection or he really just wanted to flex on us being out there in Greece real quick.
Yeah, Moo having him a good time.
He never came back through, but I don't blame him. We'll have him back on another time. Yeah, he's over there, probably in Milanokos or wherever everybody been going.
Santorini.
Santorini. Okay. I know that only because of the Raw song. It's a beautiful song, by the way. But we thank y'all for tuning in every week like you have been with us. Make sure you guys show us love on whatever device you're listening on. Make sure you go give us a review. 5 stars. You know what I mean? Might as well. You're taking the time. Go ahead and drop 5 stars on that, man. That's a free way to help us. Helps push us up in the algorithms. And, you know, that way you don't have to spread the word. The system will do it for you. So for, you know, for Meezy, who not here, the rest of the game, man, we up out of here. Y'all be good.
Peace, peace, peace.
Yo, yo.